The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Don Soa. With market insights and so much more, talk to Don now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don Soa.
Good afternoon. It's Monday, June 19th, and here we are. Supposedly, there's 2 days left before summer, but I assure you it felt like summer today. Right? It was a hot and sticky one out there. I was sitting in traffic that felt like I was in beach traffic. And, you know, it really made me think, oh, it feels like summer. But thinking about the market, we certainly have not been experiencing yet what they call the summer doldrums, right? That's when we, you know, expect to see very thin trading on the market, which is likely to, you know, begin to occur over the next several weeks. But it didn't feel like it today. We saw records on both the Dow and the S&P 500. The Dow was up 125 points. The S&P gained 0.7%. And, you know, that was really driven by your tech stocks, right? The IT, I think IT itself was up 1.4%. And we saw the NASDAQ also outperform by 1.3%. And you may recall last week we saw a little pullback in the tech stocks. We talk about the FANG, or then there's another acronym where we add Microsoft in there. You know, your Facebook, your Alphabet, which is Google, your Apple. Sometimes they throw Netflix in there, Microsoft. There was a lot of attention focused on those, and we definitely saw a little pullback last week. It was about a 0.8% pullback. In the IT stocks generally, and we really recouped that today, right? We saw that come back. And if you're a long-term investor as opposed to a day trader, maybe you looked at that as, you know, an opportunity to buy on the dip, right? You see a 0.8% pullback. Maybe that's an opportunity for you to buy some of those stocks on sale, because you think about it and say, well, these aren't companies that I think are going to go anywhere in the next few years, right? And do I think that they're going to be higher a few years from now than they are today? Well, yeah, probably. So maybe that created an opportunity for some people to buy on the dip. That's certainly, you know, one possibility. Another thing that we saw last week was on Wednesday, there was a Fed meeting, and it was, you know, fully expected that they were going to raise rates. I think the Fed futures market forecasted a 99.8% likelihood of an increase, and wouldn't you know, that's what happened. And the market likes it when we have certainty, right? The market doesn't like when the unexpected happens. So when the expected happens, we'll generally react favorably. And, you know, one of the things that people talk about with the Fed raising rates, they worry about what's going to happen in the stock market. What is going to happen to stocks when we see the Fed start raising rates? And this is the fourth rate hike since we kind of got into this cycle of slowly, slowly raising rates. It's been 18 months. So over 18 months, we've seen four very small rate hikes, which is exactly what we were expecting to see, was a very slow progression. And in that time, the market is up 21%. So that doesn't necessarily jive with what people kind of feel is going to happen. But that is what's happening, because, quite frankly, the stock market is based on a lot more than just what the Fed is doing. So here we are today on Monday the 19th, and we're going to talk about surveys, and not what surveys are, but a couple of surveys that have, you know, come out recently and what their results are and what they mean for you and for retirement investors in general. One of them is by the Employee Benefit Research Institute, the EBRI. Every year, this is the 27th year in a row that they come out with their retirement confidence survey. And it's a very, very long and involved survey, but talks about savings rates and how people feel about their upcoming retirement or the retirement that they're in. And that's really important. You know, as a certified financial planner, I and my father, Don Sowa, and Steve Beauvais, when we're working with people, we're not just talking about their savings rates and what they have saved and what they're making, but we're also talking about how they feel about their upcoming retirement, because the way we invest money and the way we plan is a lot more than just math. It's about what you want to do and how confident you feel about things, how scared you are. There's a lot to consider. So we're going to talk about some of the takeaways from the EBRI Retirement Confidence Survey. And then I was reading Providence Business News. I love PBN. I read it every time, you know, every edition that comes out. I love reading about local businesses, and specifically the not just the business profiles, but when they're talking to business owners, you know, what their take on local businesses and the local, economic environment. They cited a survey done by Fidelity, and I loved the headline on it. It said, "Perception is not reality. Women outperform men as investors." And I'll preface my talking about it with the fact that the headline was slightly misleading, but the performance for women was a bit better, but not as much as the headline would lead you to think it is. But so when we come back from our break today, we'll talk a bit about the EBRI, actually a lot about the EBRI survey, because when it comes down to it, the way you're saving matters, and the way you feel about saving drives your actual decisions. If you're, you know, confident about retirement and you haven't crunched the numbers on it, well, that's not a good thing. That's kind of one of those like head stuck in the sand situations. Likewise, if you have crunched the numbers, well, then your perception should be clearer. It would shock you, actually, the number of people that I run into who are actually in a good situation for retirement but haven't crunched the numbers, so they don't feel confident. So that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from our first break tonight. You're here listening to Money Talk on AM 790. I'm Donna Sowa Allard, filling in for Don Sowa tonight. And stick around. I look forward to talking to you.
It's time for Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Say hello to the new frozen Dunkin' Coffee, real Dunkin' Coffee, blended frozen, creamy, and smooth. Try a small for $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary, limited time offer.
195 westbound, still busy from Pawtucket Ave. And we did clear the crash out by Point Street, but just a little bit heavy as you're coming into town. On the eastbound side, busy across the bridges. After that, it starts to clear out for you. Coming up 95 northbound, picks up at the zoo, stays busy up to the vets. 95 southbound, leaving the S-curves okay. But after you get by Smithfield Ave, you're going to be busy all the way through downtown. If you're heading in on 6 right now, as you go by 10, you're busy all the way into the merge with 95. Heavier as you try to get on to 95 northbound. Coming out of town right now, leaving town on 6 westbound, you're slow all the way out to 10 as well. I'm Rich Teeter with your Right Now Traffic.
Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Drug or alcohol problems for you or a loved one can be solved. And with insurance, treatment may be at little or no cost. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now, 800-430-4149.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
And it's invisible.
It's the fence that makes sense. Get the invisible fence.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808. Keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
Meet the Smiths. They're sad. They found the house of their dreams on an online home search site only to find out it had already sold. Meet the Joneses. They're celebrating. They're buying the Smiths' dream house. They found it on riliving.com, the source for homes for sale in and near Rhode Island. In fact, all other sites get their information from RI Living. But RI Living has it first, and RI Living has it right. Keep up with the Joneses. Find your new home on riliving.com.
If you're planning to travel, consider this. You can catch the Zika virus from mosquitoes in places like Central and South America, the Caribbean, Puerto Rico and Cape Verde, even Florida and Texas. Zika also spreads through sex and causes birth defects. If you or your partner are pregnant or planning to be, avoid places with Zika. If you do travel, avoid mosquito bites. Wear long sleeves and use insect repellent that contains DEET. Learn more at health.ri.gov/Zika. A message from the Rhode Island Department of Health and the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Imus in the Morning is on AM 790 Talk and Business.
I mean, had Andrew Jackson been a little bit later, he wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was a very tough person. He saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this.
You know, the problem is he's just talking through his ass and doesn't have any idea what he's talking about and ought to shut up.
Big names, big news, and big laughs. Imus in the Morning, weekdays 6 to 9 on AM 790. This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And welcome back to Money Talk. This is Donna Sowa Allard filling in for Don Sowa tonight. And what we're talking about is retirement confidence, specifically the EBRI's Retirement Confidence Survey. This is the 27th year in a row that the Employee Benefit Research Institute has conducted this survey. It's the longest one of its kind. This is actually the first year, though, that it was conducted online. So one of the caveats in, as I was reading through, and it's a pretty extensive survey or report, was they said that they thought people answering may actually have been a little bit more honest this year. That's very possible, that because they were answering online as opposed to answering over the phone and talking to someone, that they may have been more honest, because there is a tendency for people to tell someone what they think they want to hear, which really kind of negates the whole purpose of a survey, doesn't it? If you're just telling the person on the other end of the phone what you think they want to hear, well, that's not a very good survey. When people are doing surveys, they want honest opinions. So it was conducted on these online interviews in January of this year. There were 1,082 of the respondents were current workers and 589 retirees. As kind of like a 20,000-foot overview of what some of the findings were, I will say that definitely the biggest one ties having some sort of either 401k or 403b or simple IRA plan at work. It ties a connection between that and, one, having retirement savings, and two, having confidence in your ability to retire comfortably. 47% of workers in the survey have less than $25,000 saved for retirement. 35%. Only 35% have more than $100,000 saved. And of those without a 401k or a 403b type of plan, 87% of them have less than $25,000 in savings. That is a huge, huge number, and really, really drives the importance of companies to provide a 401k type of plan. And if you're wondering, you know, if you don't have a 401k plan at work, you can save for retirement yourself. If your, you know, company doesn't offer one, you can use an individual retirement account, an IRA. You can do a pre-tax one, or you could contribute to a Roth IRA if, you know, you're under the income thresholds. Well, that's absolutely true. However, the limits on what you can contribute to those are much, much lower. If you are under 50, you can contribute, you know, up to $18,000 to a 401k plus get some sort of company match. Let's not forget the match offered by your company. If you're contributing to an IRA or a Roth IRA and you're under 50, you can only put in $5,500 and there's no match. So this is really, really significant and drives home the importance of company-sponsored plans. Also, when you have it, you know, automatically being deducted from your paycheck, it's that no-brainer. It's that pay yourself first, which you hear over and over again in retirement planning. This only, you know, further validates the importance of that. The idea that when it is, you make that decision once up front to have it taken out of your paycheck, and there it goes. And if you choose a percentage of how much you're going to contribute, so instead of saying, I'm going to contribute $100 per paycheck, instead if you say, I'm going to contribute 6% per paycheck or 10% per paycheck. Well, if you're doing that every time you get a raise, even if it's just a small raise, then your retirement account gets a raise too. And that's why it's so, so important that people be participating in their company plans, that they be paying themselves first, and, you know, getting that company match if it's available. 60% of workers surveyed in January of 2017 here said that they feel very or somewhat confident about their financial outlook from retirement. This is actually down from the 2016 survey where it said 64% were very or somewhat confident. 31% said that they feel mentally or emotionally stressed about preparing for retirement. Ugh, feeling mentally or emotionally stressed about preparing for retirement. I'm going to assume that the majority of, now I didn't get into it, you know, digging in, I couldn't see how old the respondents were who were saying that. That would be a very interesting thing to, you know, dig deeper and look into as well. As you know, were these 35-year-olds saying they feel mentally stressed about retirement, or were they 65-year-olds? Because that represents two very different situations, right? And 43% of those who don't have employer-sponsored plans also said that they felt that way, that they were, and that makes complete sense. If you don't have a company sponsored plan to automatically be contributing to be getting a match with, you're more likely to feel stressed about retirement. So that makes sense. It's kind of surprising when you think about it, though. If you look at what the market's been doing and the fact that the majority of, you know, the majority of the mutual funds that you're going to have within your 401k, your 403b, whatever your retirement plan is, they're probably doing well. You know, when I talk to people about how their retirement plans are doing, when we look at how the portfolios that we manage are doing, people are happy. Obviously, people are happy. The stock market's been doing very well. So even in a balanced portfolio, we're still seeing the benefit of the rise in market performance. So even though, you know, the economy's been doing well, we have a very low unemployment rate, the stock market's been doing very well. Interest rates, you know, although they've been going up slowly, I mean, relatively speaking, money's still fairly cheap to borrow. Interest rates are still relatively low. You can still get a 30-year mortgage cheaper than I got when I got mine in 2007 and thought I was doing awesome because my mortgage was 6%. So, I mean, you can still get you know, a fairly low interest rate. So, you know, you think to yourself, if the economy is doing well, the market's doing well, money's still relatively cheap to borrow. So why would it be that the results of this show that Americans are actually feeling less confident about having money to live comfortably through retirement than they were, you know, just a year ago? There's a lot that goes into it. There's this disconnect also because people are saying that they're stressed about retirement, but they're not taking the steps to be contributing to retirement accounts. Let's think about that again. 47% of workers have less than $25,000 in retirement savings. Only 35% have more than $100,000. And that $100,000 mark, I don't know why they use it, to be honest. I'm sure I could research that and find out. $100,000 really isn't going to do that much for you in retirement if you don't have, you know, a pension to go along with it to supplement your Social Security. If you're looking at your standard of living and saying, you know, if I'm going to retire, how am I going to support my current standard of living? Well, I'm going to support it with whatever my Social Security benefit is. If I have a pension or pensions, and you'd be surprised by the number of people that have, you know, multiple small pensions of a few hundred dollars a month from, you know, different previous employers. But say, okay, so I've got, you know, a bit coming from Social Security, a little bit coming from some pensions, and then whatever I've saved on the side. If you take a look at what that adds up to, your ability to generate income on a monthly basis, and then compare it to what you are actually spending, this is the piece that people neglect in retirement planning on their own. They neglect to really go in and evaluate what they are spending. And people are always shocked. They are shocked when they actually look at their budget, whether it be you know, a formal budget that they keep, or they're just downloading from, you know, their bank account. You say you take your Amex bill and export it to Excel, and take your, you know, your bank account and export the transactions to Excel, and say, how much are you actually spending? People are always shocked. And even people who, you know, money's not an issue for, they're not looking for money to say, like, you know, how can I save more? They're just For the sake of doing some planning, let's see what we're spending. They're shocked by the amount that they actually spend on a monthly basis. So you take that and say, how am I going to support this in retirement? And the answer is you either save more to support those expenses, or you have to adjust your lifestyle. And this is always the conversation that we have to have as people are getting closer to retirement. You know, most workers aren't feeling more confident about their retirement prospects given what's going on in the economy and the markets, but it's like, even though markets have had a good year, for some reason people feel a level of trepidation. I don't know if it's if the issue is that they're they don't have the ability to save. There have been some other suggestions that, you know, there's a lot more talk about, you know, expanded life, right? We're living longer. So not only does our money have to last longer, but the longer you live, the more expensive life is at the end, right? When we're doing our income planning, we look at kind of like a barbell situation in terms of spending. I always like to say, you know, spend more in the beginning of retirement when you are healthy, when you are able to get around easier. You know, spend more then. You eat more, you want to do more, you can travel more. Spend more while you can enjoy it more. And then, you know, as you get a bit older, I would say typically for people, I see it in their late 70s and then into their 80s, you see a real downturn in spending. You're traveling less. I don't know if it's because you've, you know, seen everything you want to see or because you're just slowing down. But you're traveling less. You eat less because that's just what happens with your metabolism. And, you know, people just don't feel the need to do as much. They don't feel the need to buy as much. It's this kind of like natural slowing down. And for some people, life ends that way. But for a lot of other people, particularly those who live a very long time, the likelihood of having higher medical expenses in those final years of life, you know, that can create that barbell effect on spending. Even if it's just for a year or 3 years, those can be a very expensive year or 3 years. This is a conversation I have a lot with clients. People saying, you know, how am I going to be able to afford that? What happens to my financial plan or to my spouse if something happens and I do have expensive medical needs towards the end of life? So that definitely is one of those factors. I would say that and the rising cost of healthcare in general for retirees is something that causes, in my experience anyways, I'm not getting this from the survey, this is just my own experience, is something that causes people a level of stress or you know, not feeling terribly confident about their ability to meet those needs. That's one of those reasons that financial, you know, actually doing a financial plan and talking to an advisor about it is really important to say, okay, how does my savings hold up to my spending? Or how does my savings hold up to the possibilities of, you know, some undesirable or some unexpected results, you know, later in retirement. I definitely think that could be one of the reasons. When you think about healthcare in and of itself, it has over a 5% rate of inflation generally. You know, I know in different parts of the country that can vary, but you know, that far exceeds the general rate of inflation. And quite frankly, the longer you live, the more medical expenses you have. And that's not even talking about long-term care per se, like nursing home care. That's just, you know, the older you get, the more likely you are to have a knee replacement or a hip replacement, the more likely you are to be on some sort of medications. So, you know, these are things that, you know, create a high level of uncertainty, quite frankly. Medicare is something that's talked about a lot in terms of, you know, it's not just about having affordable or unaffordable health insurance. It's about having affordable health care. Those are two very different things. You know, health care delivery is not the same as health insurance. So if those costs can be balanced, then the cost of Medicare goes down, and then, you know, all of our costs go down. So that's something that's definitely on people's minds, that level of uncertainty. And another thing is, people used to be able to get retiree health care or retiree health insurance through their employers, and that's really not a thing anymore for the most part. I still do see some people coming in who have some health care benefits through their employers in retirement, but that's the exception. You know, that really is the exception to the rule. Fidelity estimates that, you know, the average couple retiring, or the average, 65-year-old couple retiring in 2016 will spend, and I've seen different numbers, but a number we see a lot is about $260,000 towards out-of-pocket healthcare costs over their retirement. That could be a lowball figure. I don't even know. I mean, I hear more than that. I hear more than $270,000. There's all kinds of numbers out there, but that's definitely the lowest that I hear. And women, sorry, it's going to affect me too, but women typically pay about $600 more per year than men do in out-of-pocket healthcare costs, according to the AARP. So when we talk about, you know, financial planning for women being a little bit different, here's one way. That cost right there is one of them, $600 a year more than men for women. Women 50 and older surveyed about potential healthcare and long-term care costs. Nationwide did a survey about it, Nationwide Insurance. 65% really couldn't estimate their healthcare costs, and 77% couldn't even come close to estimating their long-term care costs. So they were being asked, you know, what do you expect your healthcare costs to be in retirement? What do you expect your long-term care costs to be? So this is an area of financial planning that needs to get a lot more attention. You know, as a certified financial planner professional, it's something that we're paying a lot more attention to. When we do our financial planning, we actually break down the types of costs that you're going to have in retirement, and say, are we going, you know, which are your most important, and are you going to be able to meet them? And healthcare is one all in of itself. It has its own expectations for inflation on it, because it really is an entire part of financial planning. We look like we are coming right about up on halftime here on the show, so we're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this EBRI survey on retirement confidence. You know, some of the reasons that people are not feeling terribly confident, or at least less so than last year. At some point, we'll get to our men versus women. Is it a battle of the sexes? It's not really a battle. That just makes it sound a lot more interesting. But, you know, talking a little bit about men and women and the way they save for retirement. So stick around when we get back from this halftime break on Money Talk here on AM 790.
Home foreclosure can be a nightmare. A couple of missed house payments, and before you know it, your house is being sold right from underneath you. You don't know where you or your family are going to live, or even where you're going to spend the night. If you don't think it can happen to you or anyone you know, think again. You don't have to face this alone. Certified housing counselors from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling are available to work with you and your lender. And this service is completely free. The sooner you call, the better your options. Call 866-687-6322. Or visit mortgagehelpnow.org to request a free consumer education DVD called Avoiding Foreclosure, Working with a Certified NFCC Housing Counselor. This nightmare does not have to happen to you. That number again, 866-687-6322, or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. This has been a public service message from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling.
It's your car. You take it to people you trust.
Don't rebuild. You want to rip out your leg.
It's your finances. You want to go to the experts.
Cut your payments by 50%.
We've got to find a way to get out from under this debt.
We can help.
The National Foundation for Credit Counseling is a nonprofit organization that has been helping people for 60 years. Speak with a counselor today at 800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. This is a public service campaign for the NFCC.
I'm Dr. Jackie Duncan, a clinician scientist working with the American Health Assistance Foundation to find a cure for macular degeneration, a debilitating eye disease. It's important to let young people know how to take care of their sight. Go to ahaf.org/kids, where families learn about macular degeneration using interactive games and stories. That's ahaf.org/kids, or call 1-800-437-2423 for free information and resources.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Money Talk with Dawn Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And welcome back to Money Talk here on AM 790. This is Donna Allard filling in for Don Sowa tonight. Hopefully he's back. Who knows? He could still be stuck in traffic. He was coming back from a little weekend trip visiting my sisters in New York, which is always nice. Just always nice to have a little family visit. And he had some nice weather to go out while he was there. But tonight we are talking about retirement confidence, or I would say confidence in retirement planning, and the EBRI survey. They do it every single year, and it's really good in terms of kind of getting a finger on the pulse of America, quite frankly, a finger on the pulse of Americans who are saving for retirement and also those who are in retirement. It's one the longest standing and fairly comprehensive study on this topic. We were talking about reasons that retirees and workers are not feeling terribly confident about retirement. And one of those reasons, the one we hit right before the break, was specifically about health care and long-term care costs. The idea that it really is an unknown and the rate of inflation on it is high. There's a lot of worry associated with that because the cost of healthcare in retirement is expected to be very, very high. Again, the lowball figure of out-of-pocket retiree costs for a couple age 65 is $260,000. And I say lowball because in many, many situations, it's more than that. That amount doesn't even include if you do have long-term care costs and the likelihood that you or your partner will have some sort of long-term care need before the end of life is over 50%. So these are things you really do need to be thinking about. Another reason that people are not feeling terribly confident about their preparedness for retirement has to do with debt. And this makes a lot of sense. And this has gone up, frankly, the number of families who are in, so for this one, they break it down by age. They do specifically cite households where the head of household is 55 or over. And that's significant because if you are 55 or older, you are within at least 10 years of when people are typically starting to look at retirement, even though, you know, the full the age for your full Social Security benefit is, well, for me, it's 67, but for some people, it's still 66 or 66 and a half. But the Medicare age is 65, so we see a lot of people targeting 65 as their exit date, because then they'll be able to continue having health care. But they they are focusing on this group where the head of household is 55 plus. And of this group, we saw 65% had their debt level increase from when the survey was done 3 years ago, or I'm sorry, not 3 years ago, 4 years ago in 2013. It increased 2% since then. It was 63% in 2013. It's now 65%. If you're wondering what the average household debt is in America, just to kind of give you a sense of what we're talking about, the average household debt in America is $134,643. And that does include mortgages. So that can give you a good sense of why it would be so high. But there are also a lot of people who don't have mortgages. You've got a lot of renters. So you're kind of balancing that out. So I would think, and this is just my own thinking, but, you know, that's an average per capita. I think that, you know, for those who have mortgages, you're typically looking at a higher level of debt. Only 32% of those surveyed who feel that debt is a major problem for them also feel confident about retirement. Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. It makes a lot of sense to me that people who have debt or consider themselves to be in major debt would not feel confident about retirement. Because if you think about it, these are truly competing interests on your purse strings. You've got, on the one hand, you want to be saving for retirement. You can't feel confident about your retirement planning if you're not saving for it. And if you're trying to pay down debt at the same time, and I'm not talking about, you know, when you're 35, 40, you have a mortgage, you're paying down your mortgage while you're also saving for retirement. That's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who, you know, are looking at having, well, for some, it's a small number, but it's still relevant. 9% of those surveyed have debt payments that are greater than 40% of their gross income. That's a lot. That's a lot of debt. So that's talking about, you know, what you're paying for your mortgage, but that's typically also, you know, some other consumer debt. When we consider the issue of student loans, I only see this continuing to get worse. So the fact that this year's showing an increase in the amount of debt over where it was, you know, a few years ago. I only consider that in, you know, the next year or two that will continue to increase because you have parents who are taking out exorbitant loans, those parent plus loans for their kids to go to college. You have people who are paying off their own loans, you know, well into the years that they have mortgages. Debt is a serious issue. I don't see it getting better anytime soon unless there's either, you know, that student loan debt is so significant. I wonder how much people actually pay attention to this. We had a wonderful day at my son's school where the seniors walked through. They all went back to their own. The high school seniors went back to their own elementary schools in their caps and gowns and walked by so that, you know, it's the idea of kids having something to look forward to. It's a nice new trend. And as they're walking by, I happened to be volunteering at a school that day. I was watching them walk by and thinking to myself, oh, congratulations. Don't take on too much debt. Don't take on too much college debt. Look at state schools. Make smart choices. That was really what I was thinking as I was watching them walk through. It really, really was. Because, I mean, the idea of walking out of school with essentially a mortgage payment is what a lot of them are doing. And that's where they're starting. That's where they're starting. I think about what my first job out of college paid me. The idea of having $1,000 a month student loan payment is absurd. And I know that there's income-based repayment plans. I know this. But you're never going to get your debt paid off on an income-based repayment plan. I know some people will, but for the majority of people, they're going to be paying for that 20 or that 25 years. So, I mean, we're seeing high levels of debt affect people as they approach retirement, and it definitely affects their ability to save. It definitely affects their ability to save. And, I mean, I'm looking at a lot of people who are factoring debt payments into their retirement income. And if they've saved a ton of money, then it's not that big a deal. Maybe they were using debt as a tool because interest rates were so low and it made sense. But there are others who, frankly, just took on the debt because they felt they had to. Or it's debt that they've just never gotten out from under. And so it's following them into retirement, affecting people who are in their 50s and 60s, affecting their ability to save for retirement. And they're finding that their budget in retirement is a lot, looks a lot different because of those added costs in there. So, yeah, you know, most people, their number one priority, this is a, I'm trying to remember what the survey was. Was it like a Wells Fargo survey, maybe? I think it was a Wells Fargo survey that asked people if they received a tax cut, similar to like the rebate that happened in 2008. I think we all got as part of the stimulus package. We all got a check in the mail, right? And the idea was they wanted you to put it back into the economy. Many, many people, rather than putting it back into the economy, put it into their own house. They fixed their household economy by putting it against existing debt. And that I'm pretty sure it was Wells Fargo had a survey, and they said that a significant number of people said that they would be using the money to pay down debt if they did receive a tax cut. Not a tax cut, but a rebate similar to the one that we received back in 2008. So that's significant. People are focusing on wanting to pay paying down their debt. Man. Time goes fast. We're already here. So we're pushing up against the last segment of the show. When we come back from this quick break, we're going to talk about another reason that people are, you know, kind of feeling this squeeze or feeling a lack of confidence in their own retirement planning or in their ability to retire. And I'll just tease you with it. It's something that benefits you if you're a spender in the economy, but it's an issue that works against you if you are a saver in this environment. You probably know what it is. Stick around. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about it.
It's time for Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Say hello to the new frozen Dunkin' Coffee, real Dunkin' Coffee, blended frozen, creamy, and smooth. Try a small for $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Crash on 6 out by Killingley Street, slowing things down for you there. It's on the right-hand side, so watch out there. 95 north and south, not too bad on the northbound side coming in from the zoo. Southbound side out of Pawtucket, busy there all the way into downtown. Coming in at 146, slow from Branch Ave. 195 looking pretty good, busy over the bridges into the split. If you're coming in on 6 right now, closer to town, you're slow from Dean and Atwell's into the merge. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE, 800-888-KNEE.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex. Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
It's been called shell shock, war neurosis, and battle fatigue. Today, we call it post-traumatic stress disorder, and it affects one out of every five warriors returning from battle in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Wounded Warrior Project offers comfort and support for warriors with PTSD and all other scars of war, whether those scars are visible or hidden. Find out how to help, because for warriors, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. Please visit WoundedWarriorProject.org.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Money Talk with Dawn Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we're back for the fourth quarter of the Money Talk Show here on AM 790, your home for talk and business. I'm Donna Allard, and We're talking about the EBRI Retirement Confidence Survey and reasons that Americans are lacking confidence in their ability to retire or in their ability to meet their, their current standard of living throughout retirement. The reasons we talked about previous to the break are ones that, you know, aren't going to be surprising to anybody. The first was the unknown costs of healthcare, and you know, it's healthcare in general. It's also, the possibility of long-term healthcare costs. Additionally, Americans are looking at a higher level of debt than they have previously, and it only continues to go up. We hear about concerns for, you know, student loan debt, and they really permeate generations. We see it as a concern for the boomers who are retiring now. They're still paying off debt for their kids. And, you know, for some people, it doesn't look like student loan debt. It looks like a second mortgage. They did a refi on their house because interest rates were so low. They took a line of credit. For other generations, they're still paying off their own. We see, you know, those Gen Xers in their 40s and early 50s. Some of them are still paying off their student loans. It's something that will continue to haunt us if we can't get under control. And it's a huge competing factor when you are trying to plan for saving for retirement. Another reason, which I alluded to before our break, I said another reason people have low confidence in retiring is a reason that it benefits you if you are a spender, but works against you if you are a saver. And that is low interest rates. Low interest rates are great if you're borrowing money, but not so great if you're if you're a depositor or a saver, because you're looking at your savings accounts, your CDs, you're looking at bonds, you're looking at money markets, and where you used to be able to get a quick couple percent before, you're looking at super, super, ultra low rates. So although the stock market's doing really, really well, returns on these safer, I wouldn't even really call a CD an investment in the same way that I would, a stock fund or a bond fund, because a true investment involves some level of risk, and a CD is supposed to be a guaranteed payout. But whatever, they typically include it in this bunch. So if you're an older person and you're looking for less volatility and you want a more regular return, you're looking at these sort of vehicles as a larger percentage of your portfolio. And if you can't get the return that you need out of these vehicles, then what are you going to do? Well, you end up having to take on more risk in your portfolio by turning to stocks. You have to turn to equities. And we see people or looking to bond funds that have a higher yield. But quite frankly, when we look at high yield bond funds, another word for high yield bond funds is junk bonds. And it doesn't mean that they're really junk. It just means that they have a much higher level of risk, quite frankly, much more akin to an equity fund, a stock fund. But we see people who were once getting, you know, some yield out of their safer or fixed savings, and they have to turn to stuff like dividend paying stocks to get the sort of return that they need to support their lifestyle. That increases their risk profile. It's something you have to be really, really careful with. Even now that we've had those four small increases, people are still dealing with low returns if you're looking for investment returns on your fixed income. Slowly rising rates will eventually be helping savers, but it works its way in slowly. 37% of investors have said that higher interest rates would make them more likely to transfer money out of the stock market and into these safer investments. This is up 23% over the same question asked in a survey 2 years ago. So think about that. These are people, what they're basically saying is they don't want to be in these riskier stock investments. They want to be in their typical fixed income, but they can't get the returns that they need out of it. It's really this whole disconnect over all of the stress people are feeling about retirement and their action. You know, people are not taking the action. They're not taking the steps to reduce that stress by saving more and or lowering their expenses. That's kind of a bummer as a retirement planner. I have to say that's kind of a bummer. And I realize for some people, it's quite frankly because their purse strings just don't allow for it. But people really do need to have a focus on a plan. If you have a plan in place, you can make smart decisions, right? If you have a plan in place, you can say, okay, I know that I need to save X number of dollars if I want to spend X number of dollars in retirement. Or if I'm saving less, it means I'll only be able to spend a certain amount, which is less in retirement. And if you have a plan in place, you can make smart decisions and have reasonable expectations. Before we wrap up, I do want to quickly hit on our whole men versus women in retirement savings thing. In a December 2016 survey of about 3,000 of Fidelity's customers who were 18 years and older, they did this nationally, and then we also have Rhode Island, specifically Rhode Island results, which is great because, you know, in Rhode Island, we always like to have a local tilt on any national story. The portion of people's pay that they were saving in work-based plans, so think your traditional 401k, your 403b, nationally, women were saving 9%, men were saving 8.6%. So like I was saying, it wasn't totally false. Women were saving a bit more, but again, it's just a bit more. How's that compare in Rhode Island? Rhode Island, women were right on with 9%, men with 8.7%, and women also slightly outperform men when it comes to their actual performance. A lot of that has to do, I think, with activity. Men tend to trade more, so you see higher costs, you know, for trading fees. Also, they end up paying more taxes in after-tax accounts because if you're, and you think about what you see on TV, right? They're all talking about your 90-day outlook on TV. So you tend to see men hopping in and out of the market more, so that can drive up cost on portfolios. But thanks for being here with us. We're wrapping up here on Money Talk. It's Monday. Join us tomorrow. Actually, my dad will be back here. So thanks for joining us on Money Talk. Have a good night.